Blessed art thou, Lord God, King of the universe, who provides for me all our needs. Or as said in Hebrew,
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, she'asah lekol zarki. Gosh, I really love that. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all our needs. And if you have made Jesus Lord over your life and Savior, then you too can claim that promise.
For he's our Jehovah Jireh.
Our provider. And that's what Tabernacles is all about. His provisions for his own. And the Israelites understood that immensely during their time in the wilderness.
The sukkah they build is a memorial of that time.
Amen.
We truly welcome you to the Shofar Ministries program, also streamed on the World Wide Web, whkradio.com. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. Let's begin with asking God to bless our time together tonight. Father, we thank you for your Son, who has saved us from our major disease called sin. We highly praise you as we lift up to your throne these particular prayer requests recently given to us, especially those with rare diseases and all forms of cancer currently afflicting those who are called by your name and listening right now. We ask for your protection over our children and grandchildren as we stand firm against the evil one who tries to penetrate their minds with wicked pleasures, drugs, and alcohol. We ask for favor in our finances, and may our burdens be light. Lord, we recognize that we are nothing without you, but with you we can do all things as we stand on the promises of your word, knowing you are coming soon. We pray this in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear. That was a beautiful prayer. Well, this is the last week that we'll be teaching on God's fall appointments surrounding the great harvest.
And we have covered a lot.
That's right. We started with Teshuvah, which is the 40-day season of repentance, then God's new year called Rosh Hashanah. We examined the culmination of Teshuvah called the Days of Awe and showed how it was a type or a picture of the tribulation. Then Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and the details of how it will be fulfilled. Then for the last 3 weeks, we've been teaching on the seventh and greatest of all feasts called Tabernacles or Sukkot, which we will finish tonight, as the end of Tabernacles was yesterday, the eighth day, also called Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah.
We've covered quite a lot with solid evidence that this season of joy begins with Jesus' real birthday. And if you're new to our program, you can read about this in Sheila's still free newsletter on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Got to get the name right, huh, dear?
Yeah.
And all the radio programs are archived there as well. Now, besides the birth of Jesus on the first day of Tabernacles, we saw the last of the tetrad of blood moons. The two tetrads of 1949 and 1967, thereabouts, resulted in two victorious wars in Israel, and many feel that we're going to see that again, especially with what is going on today with Russia and the Middle East. And it appears ISIS is moving outward to distance itself from Russian aggression, some even into the Golan Heights area. Now, we do know that the war of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 cannot occur till Israel's borders are unwalled, as stated in verse 11. And, of course, the rapture has taken place. Anyhow, now is the beginning of another year for Israel, 5776. And we know it's going to be a bumpy ride, and so far is proving to be so. For as soon as the new year began, and continuing still, random killings are happening around the Temple Mount, throughout Jerusalem, and today in Hebron and even Ramallah, by armed Palestinians opening fire on the Israeli troops, who, of course, attempted to prevent rioting at the time.
None of these troops were injured.
And that's good, but there has been other killings, like the parents who were murdered in front of their four children, and other heart-wrenching incidences. We should also remind you how Palestinians actually fabricate stories, as on Saturday, and an Israeli actually had to shoot a six-year-old Palestinian boy. But, actually, the boy was wounded while playing with a gun owned by his brother, a Palestinian police officer, and not shot by the IDF. But the family invented the story to protect their older son and to get payment from the Palestinian Authority as victims of terror at the hands of the Jews, which they get lots of money for that.
Yep, they do.
Now, NATO yesterday called on Russia to stop violating the Turkish NATO airspace and immediately stop attacks on the anti-Assad opposition. In other words, just stick to ISIS. And as you know, as I've reported, because the United States and NATO have actually been aiding the Syrian rebels, but Russia is now in control. And Obama, who could have engaged in certain protective protocols before, instead did nothing, probably because he didn't want to jeopardize his stand with Iran, who, by the way, has so far delayed sealing the nuclear agreement with the world powers. And they just say they just want to vote on it in parliament. So, Russia's deputy chief of staff and an Israeli general met today to discuss the very sophisticated long-range S-300 missiles getting into the hands of Hezbollah, which Israel will not tolerate.
What are we covering in tonight's teaching?
Well, you know that we've already talked about how it was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23, that they dwell in booths for 7 days. And besides the regular Saturday Sabbath, they have an extra Sabbath on the first day of Tabernacles and also on the extra day, which is the eighth day of the feast. Now, we discussed the many lavish ceremonies performed during this Feast of Joys, like the waving of the lulav, the house of the water pouring ceremony, and its many idiomatic phrases. Do you remember any of those?
Yeah, like Feast of All Nations.
That's right. And because it's for all people, especially in the Millennial Kingdom, Zechariah 14 says that they'll be celebrating
that. Yeah, and then there's the Feast of Dedication and the Feast of Lights.
And we compared both of those to Hanukkah and showed how that was the time of Jesus' incarnation.
Actually, on the eighth day of Hanukkah.
Right. And the celebration of Hoshana Rabbah, which is on the seventh day, which I kind of want to expand on that. I didn't get a lot of time last week to do that. But I want to talk about that before we go on to the eighth day of Tabernacles. This is really a gold nugget, so please, you might want to take some notes on this. In the archives of studying in the book of Haggai, I taught about Hoshana Rabbah. It's Tishrei 21, or as the scripture says, the 21st day of the seventh month in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 of Haggai, where God specifically chose this day, Hoshana Rabbah, to speak through Haggai that Zerubbabel's temple was not like Solomon's and absolutely nothing like the Messiah's temple will be after he shakes the nations in judgment. Again, God specifically made sure they, and we too for future generations, was that particular day that it was.
An important day. In fact, all the ceremonies have become more elaborate and festive.
Let's jump forward to the time of Jesus' day.
Okay.
According to John 7:37, he tells us that what happens in chapter 8 was on the last and great day of the feast, or the seventh day called Hoshana Rabbah. By the way, that name actually means salvation now. Of course, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And they had just been in the temple reading out of Jeremiah, because we know that was tradition on this day to read it in the temple due to the ceremony surrounding the living water that Jeremiah refers to in chapter 17, verse 13. So, let me recall to you an interesting episode that happened right after temple services, as recorded in John 8. And you all know it. It's about the woman caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus. The Pharisees said she should be stoned and wanted his opinion. We know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss his writing in the dirt and what he could have been doing. So, dear, why don't you read John 8, 5 and on, nice and slow.
Okay. All right. John 8, 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they may have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
So no one accused her. But something else occurred here. What did he write? I've heard many explanations, but most overlook a scripture from Jeremiah that is the one read on Rosh Hashanah in the first century, and probably had a sermon on it as well, particularly because Jeremiah speaks on the fountain of living waters, which we know is the ceremony done during this feast. So it's all connecting. Would you read Jeremiah 17:13?
Be happy to. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
There it is, the living waters. Remember last week I explained the ceremony called the house of the water pouring, which is why we know that they were probably listening to that in the temple.
Yeah, those are earth dwellers.
Yes. He more than likely wrote their names on Hoshana Rabbah in the dirt, which was a symbol of being doomed to the grave.
So they dare not accuse her.
Yes. And in these often missed nuggets, time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself, especially during these festivals. These feasts were important for them because God wanted them to be. How much more important for us to learn by them and to see Jesus in them, and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned these events as a major teaching tool. It's so phenomenal to me that I actually have to catch my breath whenever I think of all that he has maneuvered, so that those that desire to can see him in a deeper light. Key words here. Desire to. This is what I often say, why it's so important to know Hebraic roots. It truly is a blessing because you see the details of God, and that truly does increase your faith. So yesterday closed the official season of Tabernacles, which is the eighth, and the extra day of the feast in Israel. It's typically a 7-day feast, but they have an extra day called the 8th day. And that's called Shemini Atzeret, which means the assembly of the 8th day, or the closing of the 8th day. And Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah. So they have two memorials on the 8th day of this feast. Now, if you're looking at a Jewish calendar, but over here in English, it does say that Simchat Torah is actually on the 9th day, or today. Because apparently, sometime in the 11th century, you know, back there in those dark ages, it was changed for those who live outside of Israel. Which is absolutely wrong, because the 8th day is special, according to Scripture, not the 9th day. So, the 22nd day of Tishrei is the 7th and last day for mandatory dwelling in their sukkahs. And besides the regular Saturday during this 7-day feast, the 1st and the 8th day is a Sabbath day of rest too. Yes, the Jewish people think, oh, it's just because it's the beginning day and the ending day of this long feast. But if you are saved and know even just a little of your roots, we can also know why God set it apart. First day is his birthday, and the 8th day was his circumcision. And that is a type of the blood covenant that Christ would fulfill later. Also, it is a known fact that the blood clots absolutely more quickly on the 8th day. And that's because of vitamin K being at its peak, avoiding hemorrhage. Now, today in the hospitals, they just give the babies a shot of vitamin K. But still, I think it's amazing how God gave the orders way back before they even knew about that or vitamin K. This is something to use when you're witnessing to someone who thinks the Bible was just written by man and not inspired. And there's so many other facts that do that, as well as most of y'all know. Okay, so Shemini Atzeret means the close of the 8th day, also a Sabbath rest. Simchat Torah means rejoicing in the Torah. And they would repeat the Torah readings for the year and begin all over again. You see, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the 5 books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues. So on the 8th day of Tabernacles, again called Simchat Torah, they celebrate the finishing of reading the Torah in Deuteronomy 34 and begin all over again in Genesis 1. This reminds them that the Torah is a circle and it never ends, right? Which is why on the 8th day, which means never ending, it's like eternity. And Jesus' number is 8. You know, a quote on a Jewish website says this: on Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance. So we become the Torah's dancing feet. How fitting is that? Because the Torah is Jesus, and he really is inside of us, because Jesus is the Word. I don't think they knew what they were saying, but it's pretty amazing. There's also a famous song sung on the 8th day of this feast called Sisu V'Simku, which means let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah. It's a very festive day. When I was in Israel, I actually saw them dancing in the street on Simchat Torah, holding the Torahs and kissing it and just loving it, this 8th day. In fact, in the Gematria, which is the numbering system of letters in both Greek and Hebrew, all of Jesus' names are evenly divisible by 8. An example is the Greek name for Jesus, which means Savior. You would write it I-H-S-O-U-S, Jesus. I has a value of 10, H has a value of 8, S is 200, O is 70, U is 400, and S is 200, When you add those together, you get 888. Wow. In looking in Hebrew at the names given to Jesus, the pattern remains the same. Christ is 1,480, or 185 times 8. Savior is 1,408, so that's divisible by 8 as well. Lord is 800. Messiah is 656. And Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, a term which occurs 88 times and has a gematria of 2,960, divisible by 8. And as the truth, and you know he is the truth, that adds to 64. The probability of any randomly chosen number being divisible by 8 is 1 in 8. The chances of 4 of his names being divisible by 8 is 1 in 4,096, and so on. Yet the probability of this consistency simply occurring by accident with the 7 names above would be an astounding 1 in 2,097,152. The scriptures must be divinely inspired. And of course, our number is 6, which is the number of man, but will soon be a 7, the number of completion. And Jesus will always be an 8. He's perfect. So, praise the Lord. I know that was a lot of details, but I just want you to see how detailed God is. It's just absolutely amazing. And again, there is so much connected to the Festival of Tabernacles. I hope you'll do your own homework. But know this, you must make Jesus Lord of your life. If you want to be part of that future kingdom represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles, time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And again, how can you be sure? Well, you will have a passion and a desire to know him more. And how do you know him more? You got to be in his word. His presence is our Bible. Remember, Jesus is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. Just do it. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing out of Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yunecha. Yasa Adonai panav eleka v'yasa shem shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you, and he will be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Love Jesus. Make him Lord over your life. We're running out of time, folks, and make sure you're a good witness. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122:6. And you know, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Jesus to come back soon. All the signs are there. You have to have your head in the sand not to see it. He's coming soon. Witness to all. We're running out of time. God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.